Hank, when we spoke just before the FAA furloughs of air traffic controllers began, you expressed some real concerns about how this could affect Central Florida.
Well, it would be a significant threat to our tourism-based economy. Roughly half of the tourists who come to Central Florida arrive by air.
Then the furloughs went into effect and we started to see major delays and cancellations across the country, and everyone started showing concern, even lawmakers.
Well, fortunately, Congress saw it as a significant threat to their own survival, and they voted quickly to allow the FAA to sidestep the furlough. The funding cut is still there, but they have the authority now to staff back up on all of the controllers, and it appears that the system's back to normal, thank goodness.
First the meat inspectors, then the air traffic controllers. Do you think we'll see more of this sort of piecemeal approach to easing the more painful effects of the sequester as they arise? Or do you think Congress could reexamine a solution to the sequester as a whole anytime soon?
Congress is going to have to deal with the whole problem soon because we still have the debt ceiling debate that'll come again in August. So I think that during this interim, we're likely to see attempts first to sidestep the sequester, but then an attempt really to fix the fundamental problem, which is plaguing our economy. How are we going to deal with our fiscal issues, and how do we deal with them responsibly without wrecking the economy in the short run?
And speaking of the sequester and how it affects the economy, the fourth quarter GDP report has just been released. What news does that bring?
Well, it brings a relief in a sense. Growth was at 2.5%, which was better than the third quarter, and gives us enough momentum to be able to mitigate and overcome the effects of the sequester. The sequester, plus the increase in the payroll taxes that occurred January 1st, caused a significant slowing of economic activity, and we expected that in the first half of the year. So thank goodness we have enough momentum coming into this slower period to be able to get us through.
Where do you think that momentum is coming from?
Well, it's coming from housing in particular, which has done very, very well. But also retail sales have held up a little better than would be expected based upon the increase in the payroll taxes.
Does this portend anything specific for Central Florida?
Yeah, it sure does. Now that we have some growth in the economy and a resolution, at least in the short run, of the FAA situation, it sort of clears the way to have a very good summer tourism season, which is what all the stars were lined up to give us before we had these intervening events.
Hank, Florida's legislative session is about to wrap up, and there's still no compromise on the competing plans in the State House and Senate regarding the federal health law. The basics we generally hear about this, the Senate has a plan to use federal dollars to cover 1.1 million low-income Floridians, and on the other side you have the House. They've passed a plan to cover approximately 150,000 low-income Floridians with state funds, and they will not accept federal money. Can you drill deeper into this? What would each of these plans mean for Florida?
Well, the Senate plan, which is also supported by the governor, would have two significant economic effects. First, we'd have a healthier Florida because a lot more people would be covered by health insurance. And secondly, we would receive the substantial amount of federal funds. We're talking over the next 10 years, $45 billion. That would support over 25,000 highly paid healthcare workers directly and probably 40 to 50,000 jobs total. That's on the one side. On the House side, the House does not want to accept federal money, basically on ideological grounds. There isn't any economic justification for that. The House would cover 100,000 people using state money. And the problem with the House's posture is, first of all, it foregoes all of the federal money, yet the state of Florida would still be required to pay its share of the Affordable Care Act's costs. And there are significant costs that are imposed on every state. So we would pay the costs for the national program, but not get its benefits.
So are you saying that under the House plan, even if we chose not to accept federal funds as a state, we would still have to participate by paying out? We would lose money?
Oh, we would lose not only not getting the federal money, we would still have to pay our fair share of the Affordable Care Act's costs, and that money would just simply go to other states.
And what about the jobs that you mentioned that would be created?
Those jobs would not be supported by the House plan.
Hank, what do you think will happen with this?
It's very hard to tell. The House seems very dug in ideologically, but perhaps in the final horse trading, we'll see some resolution that would be a little more favorable to the citizens of the state of Florida.
Thanks very much for talking with me, Hank.
Thanks, Nicole.